This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wang Shaoning. It is Thursday, the 8th of August, and we are 4 days into the week. We've got one more day to go before the weekend begins. And how has the week been treating you so far?
Well, I think we've been just incredibly busy, right?
Yeah, you know, everyone's been working real hard, and I'm sure everyone out there as well, perhaps looking forward to the weekend.
Yes, plus sure. Monday is a public holiday. Yay!
Oh, a long weekend to look forward to.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are you guys going to go anywhere over the long weekend?
It's Hari Raya Haji, right?
Yeah,
so you probably have lots of family events.
How can I forget? Yeah, so there'll probably be some family time, of course, on
Monday.
Don't
forget our Lemang on Tuesday, Sharit.
I will try.
Yes.
It's not as, I think, not as available or widespread as when it is for Raya.
I already saw the stalls in Tamantun, so excuses.
Oh, wow. I haven't noticed, sadly.
So what is your favorite Hari Raya food then? I think Shaoning and I are definitely on the side of Lemang.
Oh, yeah. For me, Lemang is a must. Kuah kacang and ketupat, maybe.
Ketupat is quite an art form, actually.
Yeah. I do have this family recipe, like a chicken that is cooked with, lemongrass or something.
Thank you, Sharit. We look forward to it on Tuesday.
No. Mom, if you're listening.
Time for you to get the recipe from her, Sharit. Well, in the meantime, though, we've got lots of things lined up for you today. Day, Sharit, what are we going to be talking about first?
Well, we come across situations where we have to put our work across, through presentations or meetings, perhaps. But sometimes it can get daunting when you have to deliver it in your second language. So sometimes you have a very good product or even an idea, but does the mastery of that language or lack of mastery of the language shakes you off? So that's what we want to find out.
And I'll be talking about whether university or college is actually necessary today. I mean, in my day, it was something that I think we all aspired for if we could afford it. But hey, ironically, when it has become cheaper and easier to attain sometimes, do you think it's necessary?
All right. Now, if you remember, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're also going to be talking about that awkward question when you are going into a job interview that says, oh, why did you leave your previous job? So we're going to be talking a little bit about that after this. But first, here is Harmony Hall by Vampire Weekend, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharit and Shaoning. Now, have you ever received that question, you know, when you are in an interview for looking for a new job and then your interviewer asks you, but why are you looking for a new job? You know, why did you leave your old one? Mm-hmm. And it's always a little bit of a minefield to navigate, right, that question, but even more so if you were fired. And so the Financial Times has this interesting article taking a look at this precise thing, following up on the fact that HSBC Chairman Mark Tucker, he said that Chief Executive John Flint was leaving by unanimous decision of the non-executive directors, but the bank also said Mr. Flint resigned by mutual agreement. So it feels like they haven't really got their messages lined up there. And it just makes you wonder, what do you actually say to an interviewer if you were fired from your previous job?
Yeah, so I mean, most of the time, it's a very, I guess it's a minefield to maneuver when you speak to them, especially when things didn't go well in your previous job. So it's really trying to, some people lie their way. Some people try to be as transparent and truthful, and probably some of them try to present in a way that, you know, it was just...
A disagreement, maybe.
A disagreement or something, a lesson learned from what you've encountered. So... with the case of this, I mean, a lot of the times we see the term mutual agreement are mainly those who are already overly well paid. Like, for example, football managers, which these, it doesn't concern them. Even if they don't get another job, it's never, it's never a problem. It's those who are in the middle income, those in the lower income, when they get fired, it puts them in a very tough position.
You mean like guys like us, Sharit?
Exactly, exactly.
I would just be honest. You know why?
Yeah.
Because there are no secrets in the corporate world.
Okay.
And eventually everybody will find out.
Very true. There's no secrets even within an office. Like, no. When someone gets fired, the word goes around like wildfire. And eventually it will get back to a new employer, right?
For sure. I mean, Malaysia, KL isn't that big a town. We like to think so. But as we know, it's not even 5 degrees of separation, guys, right? It's something like 2 or 3 degrees of separation.
And you think that they won't find out with regards to your reference. I mean, when you, you decide who do you want to put in your
but
referee
you know,
list.
I have worked in companies where people have just blatantly lied on their CVs. I mean, like, really blatantly lied.
Like, to what extent? I mean, are we talking about education?
They lied about where they worked previously. And then they lied about having degrees.
Oh, wow.
They lied about having degrees.
Yes, they lied. So let's say they had a master's in University of Malaya. And it's not true. It's completely not true.
I mean, we have seen that in our amongst our politicians as well, quite fairly recently.
Low blow, Lynn.
I mean, it's true. But I guess...
Or maybe you can do something like, I came from University of Oxford, but actually it's University Oxford Brookes. Ah, people do stuff like that.
Yes, they do. And it's a university. So, for example, in my university, the University of Nottingham, there's Nottingham, there's Nottingham Trent. So it's a very it's a fine line, the fine line there that you're straddling. But I don't know why people think that these kinds of lies won't come to light. I mean, particularly on a CV, right? Especially if you've listed references on it, you can't lie about where you worked previously because people will check. I don't understand why people would think that this is a good idea.
I think sometimes people just think that, why not? Just try our luck, right? Mm. You never really know. And honestly, some companies don't immediately do reference checks. They take a while.
Yep.
And by that time, the person maybe thinks, huh, I might get away with it.
But the truth is eventually going to come out, right?
The truth will
especially
come out.
You know, even if you say you land the job that you have that you've applied for, at the end of the day, maybe it's 2, 3, 6 months down the line, someone's going to think, that's not quite right. And then, you know, the investigation starts. And then even if you don't lose your job outright, you're tainted.
For sure. This, which is why it puzzles me. I mean, if you want to embellish your CV, and everybody put your hand up here because I know everyone embellishes their CV. They do far more than they claim, or it sounds better than it really is.
It's an exercise in creative writing.
Yeah, it's creative writing. That's fine. I think that's okay. But when you start making up stuff, I mean, essentially, does that make you a dishonest person? And so, if your employer finds out, right?
So I think that happened when.
So be honest if you're going to get fired.
Yeah, so I think that would have happened to me back 10 years ago when I had not a lot, when I didn't have a lot to show. And you're trying to add flowers and all the ingredients and special, you know, spices just to make it look delicious to your future employers. But I think it reaches to a point. So I guess this could be a challenge for young graduates in some ways that they feel it's really tough to get a job. So sometimes they again, it's a numbers game, isn't it? I mean, as you said, sometimes they hope that future employers won't find out. Never know.
But at the end of the day, I guess if you're fired, the best way to go about that is to be honest about it. You know, even if it is if you were fired over this, maybe you didn't agree with your boss. Hey, it happens. Disagreements happen between people because we're all human at the end. But do let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a couple of messages coming up for you, and then we'll be back to take a look at more fascinating discussions. So don't go away. BFM 89.9. That was Your Wildest Dreams by Moody Blues, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Shaoning. Now, I think most of us have gone to university, particularly considering our BFM demographic here. But also, it's increasingly coming to be that actually, young people don't seem to see university as a necessity anymore. There was a survey done, and you can find that the article is from marketwatch.com, that said actually nearly 90% of Generation Z, so this is the newest generation, right, following the millennial generation, they actually considered alternative routes to getting a job and to achieving their future plans outside of university. And that's not that far off from the millennial statistic, which was 79%. And I guess this is reflective of these changing attitudes, right? That a university is not necessarily the ultimate goal of education. It is not the only thing that can get you a steady paying job once you actually enter the workforce. So it's quite an interesting statistic. And I was wondering where you guys fell on that scale. Do you think university is necessary?
I see the merit. I applaud those who consider not taking the education because of the fact that the reality you can accumulate debt and so forth, and that education can be expensive. But mm-hmm. I just think I'm more on the side of you still need to go to university. I think it's an experience on its own, and at the same time, most importantly, employers out there still don't have the right tools to measure their potential employees. So I mean, I think that's the reality there. I think until that changes, especially if you're going for 9-to-5 jobs, that's going to be the case.
You know, I'm very torn about this topic, because on one hand, I think education is so much more than just getting a degree.
Mm.
I think we always focus on the paper qualifications, but it's the experience, right? That education is really all about. I mean, the time in university, especially if you're lucky enough to be away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're away from home, you learn so much more about yourself, how to be independent. And at the university itself, it's the thought process.
The focus.
You learn to respect different views and then come up with your own view.
Hmm.
Sometimes we don't have that so much, especially if we live at home or we're in a very Asian society. I think education kind of breeds that wider thought process. So I'm very drawn to that. But yet at the same time, I recognize the real world is that it costs a lot of money. And you have to do your own analysis in terms of the cost benefit, right? For some, it just doesn't make any sense. The debt burden will be so high, it wouldn't make any point for you to go to university, get a degree, and all you do with your income is just pay off this student loan.
Yeah, but I guess what you're describing there is life experience, right, Shaning? And I'm of the opinion that you can get that just as well in the working world. And hey, you're earning a salary on top of that.
I think it's slightly different, because I always think university is a bit like an incubator.
Kind of a safer space.
Yeah, it's a safer space. I mean, real life work is tough, right? Mm. You've got to juggle things. You are given real demands. Not like university, that you're not given real demands. You have to finish your papers. You have to pass your exams. But there's a lot of breathing space at university, right, guys?
Yeah.
There's a lot of time to know yourself and also to have some fun, make some friends, which will probably last you for the rest of your adult life. And that's something I think young people should have.
Mm.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I'm torn. On one hand, I think university is great. But on the other hand, hey, it does cost a fair bit of money.
Yeah. And, personally speaking, I enjoyed university and I would go back, because I'm one of those people that has secret dreams of living in academia and just never leaving.
Yes, Dr. Lin Ma.
Eventually, you never know.
Yeah. I don't doubt that for a moment, Dr. Lin Ma.
But so to clarify, I'm not a doctor at all yet. Thank
but
you, Shaning.
But you do have aspirations, right?
Yes, maybe by the time I'm 40. Okay, but I don't actually think that a university degree is necessary in order to get a job. I think it is a safety net, mind you. And I think that if your CV is, say, one in a pool of 100, not having a university degree will hurt you in the end. But given 5 years, say, in the working world, I do think that it is going to be your experience, your work ethic, the impression that you've made on your employers that will actually continue to drive you forward. Because after a certain point, your degree is just the degree that you took is just a line on a sheet of paper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't necessarily see that it is an absolute must-have nowadays, not in the same way, at least, that it was maybe 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, so I have friends who did not have a university education, and they were able to flourish in the business world in particular. And now, even with technology, with all the apps, the opportunity, the global reach that you get, it's even more possible in some way. So it's just a matter of whether you have the mental for it, really, to go down this direction.
All right, well, let us know what you think about this. Is a university degree still necessary? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news coming up now, and to take you there is Eric Clapton with Change the World, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Closer to Fine by Indigo Girls, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Shaoning. Now, I think quite a lot of people in Malaysia are at least bilingual, if not trilingual. multilingual. So we all have that experience of learning a new language and the kind of the anxiety that comes around trying to speak that new language while you are certain that you're not actually that good at it yet. Mm. But I guess this interesting article in the New Straits Times, and it's written by someone who actually teaches English. And this person, Nurul Hijah Jasman, she's observed broadly two categories of students in her non-native speaker class. One of them is the group that has a very basic a grasp of English, but they're very much more able to communicate just because they don't let that stop them. You know, they are not afraid of making mistakes. Whereas the second group are the ones who could have a much better grasp of English, but don't actually speak as well or don't communicate as much because they're afraid of making errors or grammatical mistakes. And at the end of the day, who really comes out the better communicator?
Mm. So I mean, if I were to try and relate this with my own university experience or my working experiences, that I remember being in the local university, there was not a lot of emphasis with regards to the language itself. There was not a lot of emphasis on that. So for an example, a lot of things are forgiven, grammatical mistakes and so forth. What they normally judge you on are based on the points that you raise in your, you know, your academic papers. And I could see it in this article as well. If you compare it worldwide, English is taught as the art to master and not just a tool to just communicate. And so further to university, that's when you realize how important it is to master the language. For an example, because that's when you start to mass communicate, you start communicating with your colleagues, you start communicating with, you write letters to them, and mm-hmm. plural, singular, all that matters for who you're addressing to, and that's when it really kicks in. So I think it has to start, I mean, of course, education is key, so I think it's just putting the emphasis now, especially with robotics and, you know, everything is automized, people should master this language, at least in that way.
Yeah, I think, but the first step is it fluency or accuracy, right? That's the article asks whether which is more important. I think for you to get to the accuracy, there has to be some fluency, right? It comes hand in hand. So yes, I think when you're starting out learning any language, just practicing it, immersing yourself in it, reading as much as you can, speaking it, that's part of it. And then as you get better, then yes, you should kind of refine it and make it more accurate, because the reality is, especially if you're saying English in the working world, mistakes do make your work look shoddy. And bosses don't like it at all. I remember my first letter, it wasn't even anything. It was grammatically okay, spelling was okay. It's just that I was really bad at business writing. And I remember he just took a pen and just crossed it completely. And I was like 23 and my face fell to the ground.
Oh. But I feel your pain.
But that was such a good lesson, right, for me. You know. But aside from that, really, you know, that note, I think you need to be brave enough to just practice it every day.
Yes, and I think also it's also not being afraid to ask for help as and when you need it, right? Because obviously a communication with a group of friends is, or even a group of colleagues is one thing, but a formal communication between someone whom you have a working relationship with, like a client, for example, that's a little bit different. And when I was in university, I had the same experience as you, Sharit, in that I had classmates for whom English was like the third, fourth or fifth language, and they were studying a course that was very writing heavy, because we did politics, and analysis heavy in a foreign language, and I had a lot of respect for them for that. But the emphasis was always get your point across, you know, be able to argue your point. And a lot of them had no qualms about asking some of us who were more fluent speakers of English and giving us their papers to say, hey, do you understand this point I'm trying to make? Mm. No? Okay, then how do I make it clearer? And that is also how you learn. It is being not afraid to own your mistakes and see how you can grow from it. In the working world, it could be as simple as getting someone to proofread your emails before you send them, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? They're trying to be proactive with regards to the people that you deal with. For an example, if they make a mistake, it's not being... don't hold yourself back to sort of help them to improve. For an example, my day-to-day would be my kids. sometimes I slack and I'm not conscious of the way they speak. I just want to hear the point that they want to put across. But I keep being reminded by my own parents, as I say, hey, look, when they make a mistake, you have to highlight it because you don't want it to, you know, to stick with them. I mean, and that's something that they have to learn even at a very young age.
Yeah, if you do English testing, because my mother is an English professor, actually. She always said that you just practice and practice and practice till you get it right. So if you have your first assignment, do it, let someone edit it, have a look at it, and then rewrite it, and then just keep practicing it. Because language is one of those things, if you don't use, you will never learn it.
You will never learn it. And it's all well and good to know the rules of, you know, how do you use a preposition? How do you use an adverb? But it's another thing to be able to put that fluently into practice, right? So I learned French while I was in university. I took 3 years of French, and then I didn't use it as soon as I came out of university. I went back and I saw my French teacher, and I was like, no, please don't try and speak French to me. I'm really sorry. I don't remember any of it. Because it just doesn't come to the tip of your tongue. You know, you can look at a piece of paper and read it and understand it, but actually translating thought into speech is a different set of skills.
Absolutely.
And that is something that you really just have to hone through practice. There's no other way around it, really.
Yeah. And so I think what I gather from here is that, you know, when it comes to work, I think what you've said, Xiaoning, earlier, is that first is that fluency. It's just being really comfortable. And I think people should feel very, you shouldn't allow it to sort of damage your self-esteem in some ways. But you have to strive on trying to get the language right. I mean, it is another person's language in some ways, and it's good to just respect it.
Yeah, and if need be, find colleagues and friends who will support you in it, right? Mm. Who will have that conversation with you, explain some of language's rules to you, because let's face it, the English language particularly doesn't make a lot of sense if you're not a native speaker.
And don't get offended as well if you're being told.
Exactly that. Be open and be able to communicate, right? Well, let us know what you think. What do you think? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a couple of messages coming up for you after this, and then we'll be taking a look at what you've said on social media. So be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Come a Little Bit Closer by Jay and the Americans. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Xiaoning. Thank you very much for your tweets and WhatsApps this morning. We've had lots of interesting conversations. We've talked about the mastery of second languages. You've talked about whether or not you should admit that you're fired, and whether you would employ someone without a higher learning qualification. And we've had some responses on WhatsApp and as well as Twitter. So what do we have this morning?
So we have a tweet from Ramli Syrup. Good morning. He says that a degree is only necessary as a prop. If you want to pose for a photo in a long black gown and motorboard with your parents.
You know, I don't even know where my photo is.
I didn't even take a photo.
You didn't take one?
Yeah, I do. I have to admit, though, every time I see it around my house or other people's house, I do get jealous. So I think, you know, it's not too late, right?
No,
go for
it's
a photo
never
shoot.
Too late.
I can just hold a piece of A4 paper with a ribbon.
With the internet, you can just superimpose your face onto a gown.
Sharitz, you can walk across the road to the stationery shop, and they actually do sell those tubes that they use in the university photographs. So you can just get that, and then, you know, mock up something a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna print it life size.
The main thing is your degree is real.
You realize
even if the photo is fake,
you realize that
in most
of these graduating pictures, that tube is empty, right? There is no certificate inside.
Right. See, things that I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have Bon Rebel who said that a degree is not required. All you should know how to do is grow your own food and have a roof over your head. And he also said, with universities churning out millions of graduates, has the world become a better place?
Absolutely true, actually. And I think if Julian Ng were here, he would say that actually in the grander scheme of things, if the world ends,
the world is ending, according to Julian.
See.
It is ending. So, Mr. Doomsday.
Someone is coughing in his sleep right now.
Yes, absolutely. His ears are burning. We also have some WhatsApps. Rose says, an interesting flip side to the first topic is having a new job before resigning. I left a workplace simply because I'd had enough and my boss was upset because he said he'd understand if I was leaving because I had a new job, but was hurt because he didn't, but he was leaving anyway.
Yeah, all right. Okay, at the same time, that took me off. Born Rebel, now he's a realist. yes, degree not required. All we need to know is how to grow our own food and roof over and put roof over our heads. And at the same time, churning millions of graduates, has the world become a better place?
Stefan also says, my English teacher once said I'd never speak good English. Today, I publish English magazines and won the Editor of the Year in Singapore last year. Well, congratulations, Stefan. You've clearly proved your English teacher wrong.
But did you notice there's an error in that? Is that deliberate? Is it winkish or is it English?
You never know.
Yeah, Stephen, tell us, was it autocorrect or was it a deliberate mistake?
Typos affect everyone regardless of their English language proficiency, Xiaoning.
Yeah, that's and right. Iqbal asked an interesting question. Whether colleges still solve the problems that they started to solve, or are they now creating new problems, which is, of course, student debt?
Yes, it's true. And also, it ties in with Born Rebel's other point, right, which was universities now churning out millions of graduates. Well, you see these university degrees more and more nowadays. You wonder whether it actually devalues the degree. Because when everyone has one, you start to think, okay, no, I need a master's degree to be even better, or I need a PhD to really stand out in the market. And where does it end?
Yeah, but that statement, has the world become a better place? I think we're doing all right, right? It's been a while since we had any war. And there's a lot of people that have gone out of poverty as well in some ways. I mean, if you look at statistically,
we are doing much better. There has been progress.
So don't, yeah.
It's not such a bleak place.
Yeah, not so much of a bleak place.
And I also like to thank Roland, who actually tweeted in, because he probably highlighted a mistake that we do say on air. He says a common mistake is with regards to should be with regard to. And he says, sorry, don't mean to offend anyone. No, we're not offended. We appreciate it when you highlight these little mistakes that we make.
Yeah, because they're slips of the tongue. And at the end of the day, even fluent English speakers make mistakes all the time. So really, the key here is to accept your mistakes and try and correct them moving forward, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Giggle your way out.
Exactly.
We just need to practice and practice and practice, right?
Mm-hmm. The practice never ends. Well, thank you very much for your tweets and WhatsApps this morning. We've had a lot of interesting conversations, but now we're coming up on the 7 o'clock news. And after that, we'll be heading into the business end of the morning run. So here to take you to the news is The Cardigans with Carnival, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.